Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. How you doing today,
indeed.
Big guy?
I'm all right, man.
It's a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, we have a new and improved sound in the studio here. It's nice. It's really good.
It is much gooder, nice.
I think. Thank you, Corey, for coming in and helping out and restoring a little bit of sanity to this guy's life, and I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We appreciate, we salute you, Corey, today on this Tuesday afternoon here on Dueling Tangents. You are listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network. Here in Madison, I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. Brian, tell the people where you're broadcasting from.
Oh, I'm out in Waukesha right now, in the Waukesha Studios at 540 AM, WAUK. Good job, Brian. See, this is why we don't do this. I'm in Waukesha. We're live
on the
in
Shaw.
A lot of different places, including Amory and Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. Love all of you guys.
Oshkosh and Richland
Wausau,
Center.
Chad Holmes in Wausau. Either way, congratulations, everybody, for listening to us, because you're the winners, really. And if you want to join us, give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can also text at that number, 844-96-PARTY.
Can you believe the election was 3 weeks ago already, Brian?
I'm ready for it to happen next week. I know that Halloween's coming up. It's almost there. And the election's right after that. Oh. So, my goodness. The spring election. Yes, that's tomorrow.
No. It feels like it's coming as quickly as tomorrow. Not that fast. But we will be joined by Dan Schaefer at the bottom of the hour as well. Just a little tease for what we've got going here on Dueling Tangents today. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area will be joining us at 2:30. And like Brian said, if you want to join between now and then, 844-967-2789. But you bring up the spring election, Brian, and it's funny you should do so, because that's where today's show begins.
Ah, it's almost like I was in on this.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I don't know if you know, because and I have to ask you, I don't know if this was a leak, a planned leak, or if this was kind of just a slip of the tongue after the interview was wrapping up.
This is what everybody said to me while anybody brought up this particular subject every single time the second it was brought up. So, yes, I've heard this talk before. I am not even remotely surprised.
Well, Charles Benson over at WTMJ in Milwaukee, a reporter there, was the one that broke this exclusive, because he sat down and had an interview with Judge... Is it Doro or Darrow?
How's it spelled again?
D-O-R-O-W.
Doro, I would
Doro?
Say.
Doro? So I honestly do not know the pronunciation. I apologize, Judge, if I got it wrong. But she oversaw the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial of Darryl Brooks Jr. Yeah. And so, as you mentioned, the idea was at least floated throughout that trial that, she may run for this open state Supreme Court seat that is going to be on the ballot for this upcoming spring election. Primary in February, because we already had more than three candidates announced, and the general to be in April. And so she wrapped up an interview yesterday with Charles Benson and effectively was like, I will have an announcement in the coming days of what my decision will be to run for this office or not. And very, very politician speak. I haven't finalized anything. I'm still making my decision. Kind of.
Maybe I'm thinking about it.
Leaving
possibly.
It open for either.
I don't know if you think it. Maybe you think I should. Tell me I should. Should I?
And so apparently after that interview wrapped up, Charles Benson found out from Darryl's husband that she was in fact going to announce that she is running tomorrow. So I don't know, again, if this was a planned leak or if this was just accidental. Oopsies, I shared too much.
who knows? Sometimes if she's on the fence, somebody close to her can just leak it and then kind of push her one way or the other.
Well, and it's interesting because then Mark Bellin, righty-whitey talk radio, as Michael Crute likes to refer to Mark Bellin as, a host in the Milwaukee area. I don't know if his program airs here in Madison as well, but...
Doesn't matter.
Right-wing talk radio host where...
We know he exists. For the subject matter, we're going to say that he exists.
Yes, where Republicans like to go to break their news because they're one and the same. Yep. And he shared the exclusive then on his Twitter feed that... Judge Darrow was running. And okay. So it, very, very interesting to see how it was either TMJ4's Charles Benson or Mark Bellin. But one of them, or both of them, got to break the news today, Brian, that there will be a fourth candidate entering the primary field now for next spring state Supreme Court race. And what do you think about this?
Well, two things. Protasiewicz has got to be like, come on, because we've heard about her for a year now.
No, and then, she hasn't been running that long.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like it's been like at least 6 months to a year. My point is that when she announced it was like, that's incredibly early. But you got to.
As Tom Nelson jumping in for 2022 before the 2020 election. But yeah, any candidate that was announcing, all three of the candidates that are already in the race announced before the election day that we had 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I'm assuming the thought behind it was if I'm going to run for this, I got to. No one knows who Protasiewicz is really, so. You got to build up some name recognition. You got to have time to go out there and, you know, kind of let people know who you are. Because, again, if you look at most elections, especially here in Wisconsin, if people don't really know, they go with what they already do know almost every single time.
That's what Dan Kelly's banking on.
Yeah, but now you have Doro here. And this is a unique situation here because, one, you really, if you're a judge, you really shouldn't be famous. You really shouldn't be like, you should be famous in, you know, legal circles. You know, they should, oh, that's a judge that leans this way or, you know, that type of thing. Like people who can and do that type of thing. But again, you should lean, not like maybe a little bit here or there. But again, judges, like I would point out Judge Hagedorn for the most part, as much as possible, is trying to straight down the line because that's what the point is. You're a judge, right? So you don't really want your judges to go and say, I don't know, grab the spotlight or be real famous. But in this case of Judge Doro, I don't think she tried to grab the spotlight in any way, shape, or form. I think she handed herself just like any other judge would in that situation. But because of the, you know, this is a national story.
Yeah.
So she's presiding over a national story that's getting national coverage. And of course, she's going to be in the spotlight, especially since she had to make the decision to see whether he would stand trial for himself or have to be represented by someone else, or whether he was fit to stand trial by himself, which again, probably took, I mean, added a couple life sentences to him, because if you are, quote unquote, legally capable of defending yourself, then. Probably, you know, are legally, you know,
irresponsible and liable.
You're responsible and liable for what happened. Rather, that you can't use the I'm insane now. Well, if you were insane, you wouldn't be representing yourself.
Exactly.
So that's other than that, she really, like, she was thrust into the spotlight. So at this point, if you ever thought about doing it, then yeah, you should probably do that now while you're. Because again, well, Wisconsin's a couple years down the line.
Wisconsin's a unique place, Brian, where we do elect our judges. But there's an interesting balance that takes place then, because so you referenced Brian Hagedorn, a Supreme Court justice, won in the spring of 2019. And
sounds about right.
I believe that was the spring election that Hagedorn was elected in. But he wasn't previously appointed to that position, because that's the other side of the coin here in the state of Wisconsin. Sometimes you get appointed judges, and then in other cases you have where those judges, they were individuals, they were attorneys that ran for that seat. So yes, they may be politically active. They were politically active enough to run, get the signatures, but necessarily not supposed to be partisan. Like, they're nonpartisan races for these elected judges here in Wisconsin, but in recent years, they've become hyper-partisan. And it's
clearly partisan.
And it's been individuals that have been appointed to these positions that then try to go run for him again. And so it'll be an interesting dynamic because Brian Hagedorn, one, was not appointed by former Governor Scott Walker. He worked for the Walker administration, but he wasn't appointed. But Dan Kelly was appointed by the former Walker administration. Judge Jennifer Darrow was appointed to her current seat by the Walker administration. And so the difference here between judges or attorneys, because they don't become judges necessarily until they run for it, unless they're appointed. But the difference between somebody running for an open judge seat or being appointed by, say, a hyper-partisan individual, polarizing individual like former Governor Scott Walker, I think is going to make some pretty interesting waves. Maybe not in the primary, but in the general for this race, because we're going to have, there's four candidates already. I floated the idea that I truly believe Michael Gableman was going to get into this race. There's still time for him to do it, but the time is definitely shrunken now that there are four candidates, two conservative candidates, two liberal candidates in the race already. But there could be more candidates to come. It's going to be a very interesting primary for the state Supreme Court race coming up in February. But I think the dynamic between who is appointed and who's running for as an open individual, that could make some differences too.
I think you should take that into account, and I think it should be available and readily available for everyone to know. However, I think more importantly than most races, I think we really should know, get to know these people and who they are. And then to that end, I think they should really, put on a debate in front of a series of debates, let's say, in front of a larger network of a radio audience, perhaps.
That would be excellent. But, Judge Darrow's announcement for the Mark Balin Show wasn't the only news made on Righty Whitey Talk Radio earlier today. We've also got a little pity party that's going on. And we're going to get into that and talk about who was on the radio throwing a pity party for themselves on Right Wing Talk Radio here in the state of Wisconsin today.
Was it remote? Because I don't know if he's in Wisconsin.
I believe he was in studio. So, folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to talk about that and have Dan Schaefer join us at 2:30. We'll be right back.
Shame on you.
There's a devilish look in his eyes, and I don't like it.
Miss Rascal Flats, what hurts the most?
You were my sun. You were my earth.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and
Brian. This young man. Not only can he rock a very curly curly haircut, is a very talented young man. I went out to Soldier Field with Amy to go see Jay-Z and JT.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed the entire thing. And this is no slight on Jay-Z. I'm more just saying, look at Justin Timberlake, because while Justin Timberlake was singing and doing his parts, because they didn't... it wasn't like one was opening for the other. They kind of went back and forth with what they were doing.
That's
which was kind of
cool. Yeah.
But Jay-Z took a break while Justin Timberlake was singing. And then when Jay-Z came on, Justin Timberlake grabbed a different instrument every time and played one of them or danced or did something.
He was running 24/7 through it.
He was going the whole way. And it is no slight on Jay-Z. It's more just Justin Timberlake is a very talented young man.
Very impressive.
You got to be there for that Disney kid stuff.
High
expectations.
Speaking of somebody crying somebody a river, Brian, this is pretty much my response to Tim Michaels throwing himself a pity party.
And which is funny because I didn't think he cared.
I 100% put it up there as, okay, it's going to be very similar to how he got his clock cleaned in 2004. And disappeared off the face of Wisconsin politics for a while. It's how he was effectively able, well, not effectively, I guess, because he didn't win, but it's how he was able to run as a quote-unquote outsider. despite the fact that he had played, he had run for statewide office in the past. He had ran for state senate in the past. And he was a major donor to Republicans throughout the Walker administration and since then, too. But he ran as an outsider, and he went on right-wing talk radio here in Wisconsin today and talked about how sad he was and how broken up he is that he didn't win. And it's,
did he say why?
We're gonna get to that, Brian. But the funniest thing, the first thing that caught my attention, and the reason, because at first I was like, oh, Tim Michaels, he's going on right wing talk radio. He's gonna blame something. He didn't go down the former guy's path with, oh, it was fraud. So I will give him credit there. He hasn't tried to undermine the election results.
He didn't have the energy.
Yeah, and so we thought he was gonna go off to Connecticut and not really do anything else here in Wisconsin politics for the meantime. But apparently, Brian, the funny thing that caught my attention and why I wanted to talk about this today is Rance Priebus, Tommy Thompson, Paul Ryan, you know, very, very prevalent players in Wisconsin politics right now.
The ones that ran and hid once Trump got their eye. Okay, good. Those
same people were telling Tim Michaels that he should, in the days right before the election, that he should start to focus on a transition because he was going to win. And so...
Yeah, that's good. That's what insider information gets you.
I'm just enjoying it a little bit this morning and today. I enjoy this, and I think the Germans put it very well. And that's all I'm going to say on that one. it's an interesting feeling to see that Tim Michaels has thrown himself a pity party on right-wing talk radio. Oh. And the comical part as well, outside of the fact that, you know, he was being told to plan for the transition, was that...
Get ready. You're going to win. Come on, buddy. You can do it.
Yeah. Roughly five days before the election.
Really proud of what we've been able to do.
Oh, thank you, Paul Ryan. Thank you. Very proud of it. But... roughly 5 days before, and this is according to reporting from Scott Bauer over at the AP, because this interview, Tim Michaels went on Jay Weber's show. And again, conservative talk radio. This is their echo chamber. Probably why they thought they were going to win and then didn't. Because that's the primary. He wasn't talking with the press. He was preventing reporters, including like the New York Times, from going to his campaign events. Very isolated in his candidacy for the governor. But apparently he spoke with former President Donald Trump 5 days before the election, and Trump told him he wasn't coming to the state because Michaels was strong and going to win.
Another insider who knows the game. And the game is, what do you believe today? Do you feel confident? Yeah, you're going to win. Oh, the numbers be damned.
So he blamed the 90% turnout for Democratic Dane County was incredible, creating a, quote, huge, huge hurdle for Republicans to overcome.
So have they done anything to appeal to anyone who lives in Dane County, or have they demonized Dane County?
He patted himself on the back for opening an office in Milwaukee and said that the Republicans made gains in Milwaukee.
Is that factually correct?
I haven't looked at the deep numbers. Maybe,
no, it's not, because maybe. It's 11,000 K short of last time.
No, there you go.
11 K short.
There it is.
The last time. But totally, they made gains when they lost.
And the other interesting part of this pity party that was thrown on right-wing talk radio, Brian, earlier today, is that Tim Michaels said that he hadn't spoken with Rebecca Clayfish since the primary, and that there are no hard feelings, or Michael says there were hard feelings among some over him beating Clayfish, but that dissipated as the election neared. Did it?
Yeah.
Because she didn't campaign with him, and he encouraged her to run for statewide office again, which is what she said is now her focus in the coming months and years, because she's going back to the shadow campaign, the 1848 Project.
Oh, good. Good. So that worked out last time really well.
Yeah.
He good thing in. You're going back to the same things again. Well, I guess it's all like the Packers for the rest of this year. for Tim Michaels. It's only moral victories from here on out, buddy. Because nothing's going to happen.
We got some funnier quotes as well.
Some numbers to throw at me, which we may have found out some things.
We're going to get to those and a little bit more. And be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Coming up next, still taking your phone calls. 844-967-2789.
Michael, you didn't come over to my house. He's a bad guy. I tear my heart open. I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I got really excited, Brian, because I told you, I was like, I got the whole playlist for our... We're just going to commiserate with Tim Michaels today here on the radio. He's not going to join us, but we're going to talk about his commiseration with Jay Weber.
I got to ask you, when Tim Michaels is tooling around in that that truck that he does all of his campaign commercials in or from, or I'm assuming he drives to.
I think that's like the Guy Fieri truck. I think it's like the Guy Fieri truck, though. He never really truly drives it anywhere except when he's in the commercial. They put it on in the back of like a flatbed and then drive it to the next.
So when he's sitting in the back spot of the vehicle, do you think he asked them to turn on any music, or like what kind of music does the guy listen to? I don't know. Probably a bunch of sad bastard stuff now, because the poor guy lost. And on that note, I think it's time to introduce Dan Schaefer. How are you, Dan? Welcome back, Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this afternoon. And it's an interesting. Did you listen to any of the interview that Tim Michaels was giving to Jay Weber, or did you just get to see the transcripts like I did? Because I didn't subject myself to actually listening.
I just caught the quotes that came through. I did not tune into the Jay Weber show this morning to get that one. But I did check out the quotes that all of the Wisconsin press seemed very interested in this particular interview, live tweeting all of it this morning. You know, there were some really good, really amazing quotes.
Yeah.
From that interview.
The scars run deep.
As the conservatives kind of do their postmortem in losing the governor's race once again.
Yeah. And it was shocking, because pretty quickly after, if not the night of, I believe it was within 24 or 48 hours, Tim Michaels, I believe, was back in Connecticut. Like, somebody shared private jet info. I forget if it was. See, the hard part is.
I was joking about that.
No, the hard part is, Brian, is that both of the top of the ticket candidates use private jets. And so I'm unfortunately forgetting if it was Tim Michaels flying back to Connecticut or if it was Ron Johnson flying to Florida. Right,
I
after
do know
election
Ron
day.
Johnson flew to Florida.
Okay.
I knew Ron Johnson flew to Florida.
I may be confusing the two then. I
we
apologize.
Had joked about those, Michaels. Either way.
Those men of the people. The men of the people.
because all of the people themselves have their own private jets so much that it's hard to, you know, get him. I mean, I know Dan is right now on his private jet on the way to somewhere very important, like just flying around because he's in a private jet.
That's right. Me and Mandela Barnes flying in a private jet. No. Interesting. You don't see that from the other candidates who after the election. But
yeah,
the one from the quote from Michaels that really stuck out to me, and I was looking through the thread on Twitter from Journal Sentinel reporter Corey Hess, where she said Tim Michaels called his loss for governor devastating. And the quote is, "It's still raw. I'd like to get some of the money back that I lost." What a quote. What an amazing quote from Tim Michaels.
But he also,
looking back on this failed effort where he spent tens of millions of dollars to defeat Rebecca Clayfish in the primary and lose to Tony Evers in the general election, he's looking back, not thinking what he could have done for Wisconsin, but he's looking back at that money he lost. Tough times for Tim.
It is probably a hard time, because I believe all in all, he spent roughly $20 million of his own money. And
unwillingly, right? He didn't do Someone forced him to do this?
Somebody forced him to do it, Brian. But
he did not choose willingly.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic.
That's why I can understand him wanting his money back.
It's an interesting dynamic, because he says in the interview that it needs to be examined why he was able to take the lead so quickly over former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish in the Republican primary. But then at the same time is like, well, I would like some of that $12 million that I spent to win that primary back. It's like, do you not see that being able to flood the zone with advertising due to your own investment of millions of dollars is probably what led to you being able to become the front runner of the Republican primary so quickly?
It's amazing that you're able to connect those dots, Luke. It's really a challenge. Who could have figured it out, you know?
I'm just saying that that's probably the easiest linear equation that you could put together of how he was able to take the lead, and then also in the same interview then not be like, well, yeah, I really wish some of that money came back to my pocket, because he did spend a lot of money. And it is an interesting aspect. I did not believe that he was going to contribute at all, Dan, to this conversation, the postmortem of his loss.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do this at all. This is amazing that he's even talking about this. Congratulations, Tim Michaels.
Are you shocked that he did this interview today with Jay Wibbert?
Yeah, pretty surprised. Pretty surprised. And I, you know, I saw that he had a, you know, an op-ed in
the New Berlin,
the West Bend newspaper, or West Bend, in Washington,
yes,
County.
West Bend. Yes.
You know, his company's based in that area, so I think that makes sense. For sometimes it's like a Paul Ryan type of move to have like the hometown paper editorial after the election. You know, so that kind of made sense. I expected that type of thing. You know, just talking about wanting to keep the fight going and blah blah blah. But going on the radio this morning to talk about how you know, talk about his campaign and the money he lost, and some of the other quotes throughout that were pretty ridiculous too. You know, talking about how Tim Ramson has an amazing group of loyal followers. You know, talking about how you know, people in Milwaukee, how he made inroads in Milwaukee, which he did all sorts of campaign events in Milwaukee and didn't seem to move the needle at all.
Moved it negative.
So it's, you know, it's maybe they need a little bit more time to get that perspective on this loss and the what I've heard many people refer to as a Wisconsin landslide of a 3.5% loss at the top of the ticket.
And that does lead to an interesting way to take the conversation, because some of the other numbers that I saw yesterday were specifically around the polling that we can now, or not polling, but the vote totals that we can see for which demographic groups broke which way. And an interesting point that I saw yesterday was that above women over the age of 45, they voted for Tony Evers 7 points higher than they voted for Mandela Barnes. But women under the age of 45 voted for the two candidates on the Democratic side of the ticket at almost identical proportions. And so it is interesting that either way you want to look at it, it could either be that women over the age of 45 decided to pick Tony Evers over Tim Michaels, but at the same time, they picked Ron Johnson over Mandela Barnes. And so it's going to be, I think that is the focus, where if really you want to analyze the 2022 midterm election results, is that split between women over the age of 45 and under the age of 45 on the top of the ticket races.
It's that generational shift in politics that I've been talking about quite a lot this year. It's, you know, it's, there's a lot of that generational divide, and I think the split ticket thing is pretty interesting. I also think we have to look at the split ticket thing this year, you know, and it's basically what, like a 4 or 5% difference. You know, the split ticket voting in 2018 was much greater than this year. Mm-hmm. You know, Tammy Baldwin won by an 11-point margin. Tony Evers won by a 1-point margin. So when I was on Civic Media last week, or a couple weeks ago, hosting in place of Kristen while she was out of town, talked to the chair of the Waukesha County Democrats, and he said, you know, that was one of the places that, you know, Ron Johnson did a little bit better than Tim Michaels. Well, there was actually a lot less ticket splitting this year than in 2018, which I think is interesting to note as well.
Yeah, and I think if you want to have that conversation, I have a feeling, because Judd Lounsbury was the individual I saw the who was examining the exit polls for that split between women over the age of 45. And I need to be a little bit more specific. It was white women over the age of 45 and under the age of 45. And I have a feeling, though, that there could have been possibly a similar result of those women voting for Mandela Barnes over Ron Johnson had it not been for the insane amount of political ads that we saw. So, yes, there. I think generational shift and what you've been writing about is very indicative of these numbers. But I think the fact that there was a 7-point split between that age gap as well can't be discussed without mentioning the, as Ron Johnson's referred to it, the Democrats love to play the race card. And if you're not talking about the racist ads that were being put onto the airwaves throughout the state against Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in examining this breakdown of exit polling data, I think that's a little bit irresponsible.
Yeah, going into the election, we thought that the governor's race would be the closer of the two. Ended up not being the case, which I think is pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting election here in Wisconsin, and I think there's going to be a lot of analysis for it to come. But let's share with the people a little bit about how they can find your work, Dan. If they want to learn more about the writings, say, of Generational Change and all of the other excellent pieces that you do at the Recombobulation Area, how can our listeners find out more?
Yeah, now would be a good time to come to the Recombobulation Area. We publish on Substack and subscribe. We've got a sale going right now that encompasses all of Thanksgiving week. So whether you are shopping on Black Friday or Cyber Monday or whatever different day that you're doing
Giving Tuesday. Today is Giving Tuesday.
Sure. Or whatever tomorrow is. I don't know if there's something Wednesday. I had the sale run all week. So it's a 30% off sale to get a subscription for a full year. Running for the full week. So you can get a full year subscription for just $35. And that will help fund the work that we do at the Recombobulation Area.
And that is the best $35 you can spend, in my opinion, for local journalism here in the state of Wisconsin, because it's an excellent column, Dan. We really appreciate all the work that you're doing. One of the areas where I know your focus is going to be coming up in the, well, it's happening now. Whether we like it or not, we're already in the midst of it. Because we also got news today that Judge Jennifer Darrow is going to be announcing tomorrow that she is entering the race for the state Supreme Court here coming up. The primary to be held February 21st and the general to be held April 4th of next year. What are your thoughts on Judge Darrow getting into the race?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You can't overstate the importance of this race. With the balance, the majority of the court being, up for grabs in this election, I think it's just you cannot overstate the importance of this. Name recognition is a huge thing in down ballot and not. Elections that are not president, senator, governor, those types of things, right? So she now has a whole lot of name recognition after being the judge in the Daryl Brooks case. And she is going to be a very high profile candidate getting into this. Daniel Kelly, who lost big in 2020, has been running again, already had some endorsements from other conservatives. He'll be probably the, further right candidate. But we also have two liberal candidates in the race, and Judge Janet, I'm not going to try to pronounce her name live on the air right now, and Everett Mitchell in Madison, who are the two liberal candidates running for this. So I think, this race is super important because it is the liberals' best chance to win a majority and will be for a long time. These are 10-year terms, and Brian Hagedorn won in 2019. By 6,000 votes, and that helped secure the majority for the conservatives, which led to so many rulings on the things like the maps in Wisconsin, something that I of course write about all the time. And those maps have been the Republican skeleton key to wielding power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections they lose. And the court is the key to those maps. And so Jennifer Darrow's entry into this race is huge. It's huge.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be just the behemoth that we're going to be talking about for the upcoming weeks and months until February 21st and then again through April 4th. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joining us here on Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can follow Dan on Twitter, Dan R. Schaefer. You can follow the show at Dueling Tangents. You can follow Civic Media at Civic Media US. We've got one more segment left in the day. Maybe we'll get into some Bucks or the other Wisconsin political news that's also important to get into. Who knows? It's always a tangent here on Dueling Tangents. But we're going to be coming back real quick here with our final segment.
But that someone is torn it apart.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Evan, we got to work on that one a little bit, but we'll get it. We'll get it next time. But that is the first one. Now I'm blanking and Evan doesn't have his mic. So
it's all right, man.
It's originally a Sheryl Crow song. Is it not? The first one is the deepest. The first cut is the deepest. Or I don't know if she covers it or not, but Sheryl.
You know what? Honestly, this is a lot. I like this a lot better than the Sheryl Crow version, mostly because.
But I wanted the Sheryl Crow version to bring it back to the box.
You don't understand. I just got that version of that song out of my head, and I can't think about it now because if I do,
the tangent doesn't work when you don't launch off from the first part. But that's okay. We got Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation.
We're on a different one now. I'm just trying to save my mental sanity so I don't have to hear the Sheryl Crow's version.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Evan,
it's
don't
a happy
play
accident,
it.
Everybody. Don't play it's it. A happy accident.
Brian is appreciative. But we were joined by
It'll
Dan
Schaefer.
Funny
for everybody else. It's fine.
Of the Recombobulation Area. And Dan, we would be remiss if we weren't going to talk about the excellent start so far of the Milwaukee Bucks, because I'm not going to say you're the biggest Bucks fan, but you may be one of the biggest Bucks fans that I follow online, and I get to see a lot of your takes on what's going on with the Bucks this season so far.
Yeah, I'm probably one of the only people out there who ever gets a stick to politics tweet in the replies, because, you know, people who might follow me for my political columns and coverage and stuff like that will all of a sudden see me live tweet a Bucks game and just have like weird takes about Jordan Wara. And people are just like, what are you talking about? I follow you for politics. Stick to politics. I'm probably one of the only people out there who ever gets those kinds of tweets. But yeah, the Bucks are great. Bucks are really good. And they have the second best record in the league, and they haven't even had their second best player has not yet played a game yet this year. So they're doing great. Giannis is the best.
It's been a fun season so far to watch. I am still in the wrestling match with Bally Sports, so I love the fact that I can get them when they're on the national games, which I believe they're playing on Friday against the Lakers, and so that one will be nationally televised. But outside of those, Bally Sports, Wisconsin, and I – we're fighting because YouTube TV or Bally Sports are fighting, so therefore I don't get to watch as many Bucks games unless I.
They're just trying to stick it to the libs in Dane County. That's all it is.
No, I think it's just they're a corporation that wants to get as much money out of everybody that they possibly can. Brian, that's
that could
what
not possibly be the case. They could never be the case.
Yes, they, unlike Elon
it's
Musk,
inflation.
Don't
it's inflation.
They don't hassle over their costs though online like Elon Musk did with Stephen King for Twitter Blue. But getting back to,
hey, it's gonna be three different colors now. Is it gonna be different now again?
Apparently I'm not keeping
it's
up with
be
it.
It's so much better later on.
See, it'll be interesting because the as much as I'm keeping up with the Twitter things, I just know that it will be once I click on the app and it doesn't actually open, that'll just be the day where I probably have a whole lot more relief in my life, because it's just like, okay, I don't have to go to the hellscape that is Twitter.
We'll be free. We'll be free. We'll be set free of the tyranny of Twitter.
So that's really my focus on it.
And whatever Elon Musk is doing that day. I had somebody tell me, I saw a tweet that said they started pronouncing Elon like Ellen, like the last four letters in the word melon, and now I can't get it out of my head, so I just call him Ellen Musk.
There you go. But bringing it back to here in Wisconsin, before the holiday weekend, Dan, we, as you referenced, the skeleton key, those maps here in the state of Wisconsin, the skeleton key for Republicans holding on to power. Devin LeMahieu got a little bit of what I like to think was a Thanksgiving surprise to a lot of us. He probably didn't see it as a surprise. He was probably more like, shucks, my evil plans are foiled kind of thing. But longtime serving state senator Alberta Darling, one of the Republicans that has really benefited most possibly from those gerrymandered maps, because her district has been blueing in recent years, but because of gerrymandering, she's been pretty safe. She announced last week that she will be retiring as of Thursday, December 1st, preventing the Republicans from holding a supermajority for the time being in the state Senate. So I'd love to hear your thoughts kind of on that retirement and what you think is next for, I believe, the 8th state Senate district here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's an important race. And it is, like you said, one of those Milwaukee suburb districts that have been trending to the left in recent years. You know, her district includes Whitefish Bay and a lot of those North Shore Milwaukee County suburbs. And those have gotten very blue in recent years during the, you know, kind of post-Trump. And like you mentioned, it is also a district that has been gerrymandered. So, you know, using my friend John Johnson of Marquette University's seat lean formula, the district went from about a Republican 7-point advantage to about a Republican 12-point advantage in the new maps. But it is also one that you know, our friend Tim Michaels, who underperformed in the Milwaukee County suburbs, he only won that district by about 4%. So, you know, stands to reason that if Democrats have a candidate who is competitive there, you know, that they could mount a real challenge to flipping that seat blue, as they have in a number of other Milwaukee area suburban districts in recent years. So that one will definitely be one to keep an eye on. You know, if Democrats were to win that seat, it would keep the Republicans under that 2/3 supermajority in the state Senate that they were kind of eyeing some fairly extreme measures with, as we saw in a story from Molly Beck last week about, you know, firing state officers or something like that. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really interesting race. And, you know, each state Senate district is made up of 3 assembly districts and the 3 representatives within that assembly districts. There are 2 Republicans, Dan Knodel and Janelle Branchon. If Janelle Branchon runs, we're in for a real circus.
Oh, we talked about that yesterday, and we just we had a little scenario that we discussed of her just leaving Robin Voss after being scorned and kicked out of that closed door caucus meeting, that maybe she'll go run for the state Senate, but who knows what's going to happen.
I can't see her inheriting the fiefdom. I don't see it.
Yeah. I think Knodel has said he's considering it. And then the other assembly representative within that district is Democrat Deb Andrika. She has said she will not be running. So she flipped that seat in 2020 and was reelected in 2022. She's not going to be doing a third campaign, a third high profile legislative campaign within, you know, kind of basically 2.5 years. So that is going to be a really interesting one. You know, it's going to be important for a Democrat to step up and run, because this is a winnable seat. It's like many, the goalposts in Milwaukee area, the goalposts were moved, to give Republicans a better advantage, but this is a winnable seat.
Yeah, it's going to be another area to keep a close eye on, and we really appreciate you joining us this Tuesday afternoon. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, he's filled in for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin, so you can go check out episodes that Dan hosted of As Goes Wisconsin, where we get all of our podcasts here at Civic Media. Dan, hopefully we'll get to have you back on again real soon to continue these conversations. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. 30% off Recombobulation Area right now. $6.
There we go. Get all the plugs in.
I think I'm going to go and get a muskmelon right now.
Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.